Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett coming to you on this Thursday broadcast. So glad you're joining us today. And I want to take just a moment to say thank you for joining me on the broadcast. And I know when you're cruising on down the road, you're coming home from work, I know you're probably exhausted. And there are a lot of options that you can listen to on the radio, but you have chosen to listen to this broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. And I just want you to know that I really do appreciate you tuning in. And if I can do anything to help you out, please feel free to call me anytime. Here is the number at the church where I pastor, Hickory Ridge Community Church, 757-421-7500, 757-421-7500. Leave me a message if I'm not at the church, and I promise you I'll call you back just as quick as I can. But we are really honored to be part of sharing hope for your heart through this daily broadcast. Well, today we're beginning a brand new series, and I'm looking forward to this series on forgiveness. And I have typed in my notes the word forgiveness, F-O-R-G-I-V-E-N-E-S-S, and I put it in all caps right in the middle of that word give, G-I-V-E. You see, you can't have forgiveness without a gift being given to you. So when we forgive somebody, we're giving them something. We're giving them a gift. We're giving them a pass on what they've done to offend us. It doesn't mean that we're building a relationship with them necessarily. Relationships are built on trust. When trust is broken, it's not instantaneously granted, but forgiveness is something that instantaneously we give to somebody. They don't deserve it. They can't work for it. And it's something that they can't pay for it. It is a gift that we give to somebody who has done us wrong. You know, that's what God did for us, and I'm so glad that He did, because if we are not forgiven by God, we're going to have a hard time forgiving others. And so I want to encourage you today, as we go through this broadcast, we have an opportunity to see God move in our hearts in a powerful, powerful way. Somebody once told me that many sicknesses that we encounter within our lives are due to the lack of forgiveness. If we could just relieve this forgiveness, it would help us with hypertension. It would help us with heart disease. It would help us with a lot of the physical ailments that we have in life. It would help us with depression. It would help us with anxiety. And so in the name of mental health and physical health, I want you to be good at forgiving other people. You know, many years ago, Time magazine had an article, and on the cover of this Time magazine, it said, "Be merciful," and it says, "Why forgive?" It is a story that is given there where forgiveness is given out, and it is given out by the Pope at that time. Somebody had attempted to take his life and took a shot at him, and he forgave them. And Christ reminds us that we're to forgive other people as we have been forgiven. So Pope John Paul II was an example of mercy, and he gave that mercy, he gave that forgiveness to the person who tried to shoot him. So lack of forgiveness is the core of almost all of our battles. Marriage problems, relationships with our kids. If there is a lack of forgiveness, there's going to be trouble right at the very core of our being. You see, resentments build up fast, and it festers, quickly when we have selfish expectations and when we refuse to forgive somebody else. Now, living with people is not an easy thing to do. And my wife and I have been married for over 30 years. And I got to tell you that I love being married. I love my wife. Most days are incredible. Most days are great. We get along very well. But some days we don't get along so well. Somebody summarized it like this: getting along with brothers and sisters in Christ. To dwell above with those we love, oh, that'll be glory. But to dwell below with those we know, well, that's another story. Well, let's talk about this whole subject of forgiveness today. Why is it so hard to forgive? Well, I think there's a couple reasons that we can look at as to why it is so hard to forgive. Because when you think about forgiveness, as you forgive somebody, you actually have to relinquish the moral advantage you have over somebody. When somebody has done you wrong, right, you have this advantage over them that they owe you something. They are in debt to you because they have done something wrong to you. So as you forgive that person, you are actually releasing that moral advantage. You say, I'm not going to hold that against you anymore. The second reason it's so hard to forgive is because forgiveness requires a renouncing of vengeance. not only am I giving that control over to them, that moral high ground back to them, I'm also saying when I forgive them that I no longer can bring about vengeance. You know, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. When we refuse to forgive somebody, we are holding a vengeance against them. But when we actually forgive that person, we are renouncing that vengeance. There's a third reason why it's so hard to forgive people, is because there is actually some pleasure in being a victim. The woe is me. There is a sense of pleasure in realizing somebody's taking advantage of me. Woe is me. I ought to get special consideration because somebody has taken advantage of me. Well, Jesus answers this whole issue of forgiveness in a dialogue that he had with Peter. Peter came to Jesus one day and asked, well, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or my sister who sins against me? And you know Peter's response. Peter says, seven times? Now, Peter thought he was doing pretty good because Jewish law says you've got to forgive a person three times. So Peter says, I'll tell you what, I'll double it and add one. And he thought he was doing really good. But Jesus answered him and says, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times 70. Now, this is some powerful stuff here. And so as we look at this whole subject of forgiveness, this first lesson on forgiveness, why do I even need to learn how to forgive? Why should I even go through the whole concept of thinking about why I should forgive somebody? Well, here's the first reason, is because God has forgiven me. We learn from God's word that from Matthew chapter 18, there's an interesting story in Matthew chapter 18. And Matthew 18 is full of such good teaching, not only on forgiveness, but how to deal with somebody who has been an offense to you. And matter of fact, why don't I just take a few minutes and just kind of read this account of Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus kind of gives us some powerful teaching on forgiveness. Matthew 18, verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle his accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had would be sold to repay the debt. At this point, the servant fell on his knees before him and he says, please be patient with me. He begged, I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out and he found one of the fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, he grabbed him and he began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servants fell to his knees and he begged him. He said, please be patient with me. I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he fell to his knees and he begged him, please be patient. I will pay it back. But he continued to refuse. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were filled with outrage. And they went and told the master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant and he says, you wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt that you had because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailer to be tormented. And as we look at what happens here, we say the last verse, it says, this is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. In other words, this has got to be a genuine thing. We can't say, well, I forgive you when we really aren't forgiving. So here's the first lesson. We must learn to forgive because God has forgiven me. Verse 27, it says, the master's servant took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. You know, I love the fact that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why is there no condemnation? Because God has forgiven us. The servant's reaction found in verses 28 through 30 is that when he needed to have that forgiveness, it was given to him. But when he had somebody else who owed him a debt, he refused to give out forgiveness. Now imagine what this guy is doing. This guy owes $12 million to his boss, and he's got a friend who owes him a couple hundred denarii, which is like $17, and he throws him into prison. I mean, you talk about the hypocrisy of this thing. You've been forgiven of $12 million, and yet you can't forgive this guy of $17, and you throw him into prison? Why did he respond that way? Because he really didn't feel forgiven himself. He's still foolishly trying to collect money to pay off that $12 million debt. Ephesians chapter 4 says, be kind to one another, be compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ and God forgave you. You see, this guy missed the whole point of grace. He didn't believe he was forgiven. You see, when you know that you are forgiven, you will forgive others. Now notice his harshness. He grabs the man and demanded that he pay him back. He began to choke him. You see, Roman law actually allows you to do this to somebody who owed you money. If somebody owed you money and they didn't pay you back, you were allowed to choke him. Literally, you could choke him. That was the legal thing to do. Here we have this guy thrown into prison over 17 bucks. You know, I've discovered about people who lack the ability to receive forgiveness, they lack the capacity to give forgiveness. You see, whenever you find yourself being harsh or judgmental or unbelieving or demanding and unforgiving of others and critical and negative and ungracious, what you are falling into is this trap of sin. You can count on the fact that there's this unresolved guilt. That's what this man is experiencing. So when we feel unforgiven, we tend to be unforgiven. But when we don't feel unforgiven, even if we have been forgiven, we don't act in grace. You see, this is very hard because when you think about the issue of forgiveness, it's hard because when I most need forgiveness, I am most hard-hearted. Yeah, the servant's debt was forgiven, but his heart had not changed. Here's a quote from Woody Allen, that comedian who said, "It's hard to get your heart and your head to agree in life. In my case, they're not even friendly." Now, that's exactly what we see in this man. His head and his heart could not get in sync. Somebody once said there's 18 inches between your head and your heart, and there's 18 inches between salvation being only in your head versus salvation coming down into your heart. You see, when a person is saved, it's not just a change of mind, they have a change of heart. They get a new heart. It's hard sometimes to forgive because we have this hard heart. Secondly, it's hard to forgive others because when I am in the most need of forgiveness, I find myself filled mostly with pride. You see, it's my right to be paid. I deserve to be paid. I demand that I am paid. Madonna says this, "I won't be happy until I'm as famous as God." Filled with pride. You see, when God does something big, pray it will keep you small. When God blesses you tremendously, pray that it doesn't go to your head. St. Augustine said it was pride that changed the angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. You see, it's hard to forgive because when I need forgiveness, I'm most hard-hearted, I'm most filled with pride, and thirdly, I'm most tired of forgiving. You see, Jesus forgives to the infinite degree. Forgiveness and trust are not synonymous. Forgiveness is a gift, trust is earned. You know, there was a show years ago called Amos and Andy. And in that show, there was a big man who would slap Andy across the chest whenever they met. Finally, Andy had enough of it, and he said to Amos, "I've got a fix for him. I'm going to put a stick of dynamite in my vest pocket. And the next time he slaps me in the chest, he's going to get his hand blown off." What Andy seemed to forget, that the man may lose his hand, but Andy was going to lose his heart. You see, the same kind of damage happens to us when we hold unforgiveness and bitterness in our hearts. You see, it's hard for us to forgive because when we are most in need of forgiveness, I feel most justified not to forgive. You see, the Bible reminds us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, to be angry and not sin. You see, when we are angry and we feel justified not to forgive, that emotion actually contributes to our lack of ability to forgive. You see, when I need forgiveness the most, then it's most difficult to receive it because I am critical of others' sins. I tend to be looking at others' sins to justify my own sins. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 14, verse number 10, that you have no right to criticize your brother or to look down on them. Remember, each of us will stand before God on that judgment day, that judgment seat before God. Well, here's the second thing that we must remember about forgiveness. Number one is that God has forgiven me, but number two, we must remember that resentment will make me miserable. Getting back to our story about the unforgiving servant, we discover that when the servant saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and they told their master everything that had happened, and the master called the servant in, and he said, "You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailer until he should pay back all that he owed. So the master said, "If that's the way you're going to be, unforgiving, I'm going to be unforgiving also." and he hands him over to the jailers. The word jailer literally means he handed him over to the tormentors. He turned him over to be tormented because he refused to forgive. Verses 33 and 34. You know, Job chapter 21, we have this interesting verse. You know, some men will stay happy until the day they die. Others will not have happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. Who in the world do you think Job is referring to? I think Job is referring to those who will live their whole lives with a bitter heart because resentment makes us miserable. You see, when we fail to forgive, God doesn't just lock us up in a jail. We do that ourselves. We lock ourselves into a jail of torment and hurts. When we rehearse a hurt over and over again, it gets bigger and bigger and continues to hurt us long after it has happened. We lock ourselves into this prison. You know, there are millions of people who are imprisoned by guilt. They are enslaved by anger and anxiety, and they have lost their joy. They are given over to the torment of resentment year after year after year. The forgiveness of Christ is the key to unlock that jail. It can set you free for your own sake. Learn to ask forgiveness. Learn to offer forgiveness. Doctors say that you could clear out most of the hospitals today. Matter of fact, one doctor said 90% of the people in the hospital today are in there because they refuse to forgive. They're dealing with guilt. They're dealing with resentment. Guilt is what I've done to others. Resentment is what others have done to me. The torture chamber is self-inflicted because I refuse to forgive. Well, here's the third point about forgiveness. We should forgive others because God has forgiven us. We should forgive others because resentment makes me miserable. But we also should forgive others because, you know, one day I'll need forgiveness. Sometime in the future, I'm going to need forgiveness. Verse number 35. This is how your heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brothers from your heart. Somebody once told John Wesley one time, he said, I could never forgive that person. Wesley said, well then, I hope that you never sin. You see, if you're going to live the rest of your life in perfection, you don't need to forgive anybody else. But forgiveness is a two-way street. Don't burn the bridge you've got to walk over in order to get to heaven. You see, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive us of our debts, as we forgive our debtors, God, you forgive me as much as I forgive the people around me. Do you really want to pray that prayer? You know, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful. Why? Because they shall be shown mercy. The parable here is teaching us that forgiveness is a way of life. It's not just a one-time act. You're going to hurt people in life. You're going to get hurt by people in life. None of us are perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. And we're going to be constantly hurting one another. And because of that, we constantly need forgiveness. We have to live in a constant state of forgiveness, accepting God's forgiveness, offering God's forgiveness to others. Enjoy it and employ it. It's got to be ongoing, constantly. It's got to be part of our lifestyle. And as Christians, we ought to be the quickest one to forgive. So the question often comes up, is forgiveness fair? Do you let them get away with it? No, it's not fair. But nobody said life is fair. But is it fair that God has forgiven us? Absolutely not. It's not fair that God has forgiven us. So as you are listening to the broadcast today, do you need to forgive somebody? Do you need to receive God's forgiveness? You know, you think about the blame test or the bitterness test. The blame test is, this is an indictment of resentment. Life would be so much better if. That's the blame test. If you're living in a blame test mindset, you're constantly going through your life and you're finding out, who can I blame for something that's gone wrong in my life? I blame my wife, I blame my kids, I blame my church, I blame my pastor, I blame my coworkers. I'm constantly blaming somebody. And when I'm doing that, it is really an indictment of resentment. We're really saying my life would be so much better if. The bitter test is that I'm keeping score. This is a mental balance in my life, and every time I do something, I say, well, you owe me for this. Every time I'm kind to somebody, I might say to them, you owe me this. Maybe in your marriage, this is what you've been doing. You say, man, I've done this, you owe me. I've cut the grass, now it's your turn to give me something back in return. You're holding it over that person's head. You have become unpleasant because that person in your mind owes you something. No matter how good they are to you, you're saying, you still owe me. You are unpleasable because you won't forgive. You're killing your marriage, not the other person. You're doing it by your unforgiveness. You see, you've never let them off the hook, and you're holding on to that resentment. Now you have become unpleasant. You become filled with bitterness. You may say, well, what's the use? I'll never get repaid. In your mind, you're saying, I deserve something. He says, you think about this whole thing. Maybe you were neglected as a child, and maybe you were abused as a child, and maybe your parents didn't treat you the best they could have treated you. Maybe you never could get that love that you felt like you needed. Nobody did that because, as we think about this, nobody has perfect parents. You see, don't give forgiveness to only those who are perfect because perfect people don't need it. Forgiveness is given to anybody. It is a gift. Nobody deserves it. None of us deserve to be forgiven. Listen, none of us deserve to be hurt by somebody else, but that is a fact of life. If you're married, your partner has maybe not lived up to your expectations, and you're thinking, I got a raw deal here. You're thinking, man, this was some false advertisement. What you thought you were getting into when you got into that marriage were two different things altogether. How you feel your needs haven't been met. You're allowing grudges to build up and you're killing the relationship. What do I need to do? I need to forgive. Well, there's another test that you can take. We talked about the blame test. That's where you're constantly blaming somebody else for the shortcomings in your life. You talked about the bitterness test. That's where you're keeping score. Yeah, I've done something good. I should get something good back. And then there's the behavior test. You ever find yourself reacting towards somebody not because of what they've done, but because they remind you of somebody else you resent? I remember one Sunday at the end of the service, as I was shaking hands with somebody, a young lady shook my hand and said, Pastor, I will never come back to this church again. And I tried to dig deeper into find out what exactly was wrong in her life. I said, well, I'm sorry. Did somebody say something to you in the service? Or did somebody, you know, do something they shouldn't have done to you in the service? And she said, oh, no. She says, that's not the problem. She says, the problem is you. And she pointed right at me. And I was like, uh-oh, what did I say something that offended you into my message today? And she said, oh, no, you didn't say anything. She says, as I was listening to you give the sermon today, it reminded me of a pastor I knew years ago, and that pastor abused me. And as I listened to you, I was constantly reminded of that pastor. You see, as you look at this, this is an indication that this person never learned to forgive. They were taking out their frustrations on the wrong person. I tried to, as gently as I possibly could, say to her, listen, I am not that person. You can't hold this grudge against me. I am not that person. Often what it takes is this. If you have resentment against your parents, whom you were never able to express that resentment to, as you look at that, now that resentment has not gone toward your parents, now it's going toward your spouse. And you're acting like a parent to that spouse, and you're transferring that years of resentment, and you're transferring it to somebody else. What you're reacting to is not really their fault. It's just that they are reminding you of somebody else and something else that you never dealt with. You need to let it go. You need to experience forgiveness. You see, it's also good for your heart. Your heart needs to be forgiven. Your heart needs to experience forgiveness. I want to close out by sharing an illustration of two different types of animals. One is the hummingbird. The other is the blue whale. You know, hummingbirds have race car hearts that eat oxygen at an eye-popping rate. Hummingbirds have hearts that are built with thinner, leaner fibers than our hearts. Their arteries are stiffer and more taut. Their hearts are stripped to the skin for the war against gravity and inertia. They are in a mad search for food, and they have this insane idea of flight. They are amazing to watch hummingbirds fly. They are tiny little birds, and their heart beats 10 times a second. Unbelievable. So even if you put your huge ear up to their tiny chest, it will be hard for you to discern the heartbeat because it's going so fast. The price of their ambition is a life closer to death. You see, they suffer more heart attacks and aneurysms and ruptures more than any other living creature. It's expensive to fly. You burn out. You fry the machine. You melt the engine. The biggest heart in the world is inside of the blue whale. It weighs more than 7 tons. It's as big as a room. It is a room with 4 chambers. A child could walk around in it, head held up high, bending only as he walked through the valves. The valves are as big as a swinging door in a salon. The house of a heart drives a creature, and it drives that creature that's 100 foot long. You see, every creature on Earth has approximately the same number of heartbeats in their life. Did you know that your heart will beat 2 billion times in the span of your lifetime? If you're like the heart of the hummingbird, because that heart beats so fast, the hummingbird will live for 2 years. The blue whale, on the other hand, because its heart is so big and so large, it beats so slowly, will live much longer. As you think about your heart spiritually, if you are a person that will quickly forgive, your heart will live longer. It will not experience bitterness or resentment. God bless you. Thank you for listening today.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.